from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello listener, welcome back with me Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the main points. Indonesia to intensify cooperation in food sector with Malaysia. Indonesia to play key role in 2024 World Public Relations Forum. Now the news in detail. Indonesia is committed to boosting bilateral relations with Malaysia through strategic cooperation in the food sector. Head of the Indonesian National Food Agency, Arif Prasetyo Adi, stated it at the International Food Security in Indonesia and Malaysia seminar held recently at the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. He highlighted that Indonesia also remains resolute in enhancing cooperation with Malaysia to build a more efficient market mechanism to support the regional food supply chain. According to him, Indonesia also imports several food commodities and exports surplus food supplies. His agency will thereafter assess the sufficiency and insufficiency of food supply so that once the import policy is made, it has gone through calculations and pays attention to the welfare of farmers as food producers. He explained that this strategy aligns with the food self-sufficiency vision of President-elect Prabowo Subianto, who has planned to work towards enabling Indonesia to regain its food self-sufficiency status 4 years after he is inaugurated on October the 20th next week. Chair of the Indonesian Public Relations Association, Boy Kelana Subroto, accentuated the need for Indonesia to play an important role at the World Public Relations Forum scheduled in Bali from November the 19th to 22nd. Subroto stated on Saturday that the World Public Relations Forum, which was earlier held in India, is expected to be Indonesia's stage to present big ideas in human resources by involving academicians from various countries. The four-day World Public Relations Forum 2024, themed Purposeful Influence for the Common Good, will include a discussion on the use of artificial intelligence. Indonesian Communication and Informatics Minister Budi Ari Setiadi has underlined that his ministry needs to optimize three priority aspects, namely online gambling eradication, internet speed, and personal data protection to support national progress. In a statement released by his ministry on Saturday, he said that online gambling handling is one of the priorities because the practice is still being detected in Indonesia's digital space. Even though the Ministry of Communication and Informatics has made intensive efforts to eradicate the practice, online gambling developers are still targeting Indonesians. Touching upon internet speed, the minister said that it must be given more attention and be increased so that Indonesia's digital transformation can compete with that of developed countries. Another aspect that needs to be handled better in the future is personal data protection. According to Setiadi, the speed of handling data breaches as well as mitigation efforts must be improved to boost personal data protection governance. The minister also appealed to the community to help monitor improvement in the three priority areas as they are considered the best resources to optimize national digital transformation. Israel ordered more evacuations and targeted a new location in northern Lebanon on Saturday as a third UN peacekeeper was wounded in Israel's escalating conflict with Iran-backed Lebanese group Hezbollah. At least 15 people were killed and 37 wounded in Israeli strikes across three different areas in Lebanon, the Lebanese Health Ministry said. One of the targeted locations was in the town of Derbila in northern Lebanon, which had been struck before. The Israeli military also said Hezbollah had fired nearly 320 projectiles from Lebanon into Israel on Saturday without giving further details. It declared areas around some towns in North Israel closed to the public. Also on Saturday, Israel's military ordered residents of 23 southern Lebanese villages to evacuate to areas north of the Awali River, which flows from the western Bekaa Valley into the Mediterranean. The Israeli military said evacuations were necessary for the safety of residents due to increased Hezbollah activities, claiming the group is using sites to conceal weapons and launch attacks on Israel. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, in a call with Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, expressed deep concern about reports that Israeli forces had fired on UN peacekeeping positions in Lebanon in recent days and urged Israel to ensure safety for them and the Lebanese military, the Pentagon said. Democratic White House candidate Kamala Harris is in excellent health and fit for the U.S. presidency, according to a medical report published by the White House on Saturday, as she challenged rival Donald Trump to publish his own health records. Speaking to reporters on Saturday, ahead of a trip to North Carolina, Harris called Trump's unwillingness to publish his records a further example of his lack of transparency. But as Harris ramped up pressure for details on the physical health and mental acuity of Trump, who is 78, the former president's campaign pushed back. The Republican candidate is also in perfect and excellent health to be commander-in-chief, it said in a statement. Trump became the oldest presidential nominee from a major political party in U.S. history after incumbent U.S. President Joe Biden, 81 years, withdrew from the White House race in July. Harris is 59. Biden passed the torch to Harris after a disastrous debate against Trump raised concerns in the Democratic Party about his own mental sharpness. But Trump's age has not appeared to be a deal-breaker for voters, as polls show a knife-edge battle with Harris in the November 5th presidential election. Scotland's former leader Alex Salmond, a figurehead of the independence movement, has died at the age of 69, the Scottish National Party he once led said Saturday. Salmond, who led Scotland between 2007 and 2014, was reported by the UK media to have been taken ill after giving a speech in North Macedonia. Tributes poured in from across the political spectrum for one of Scotland's most important politicians. Prime Minister Keir Starmer called Salmond a monumental figure of Scottish and UK politics who leaves behind a lasting legacy. Widely recognized as one of the UK's shrewdest and most charismatic politicians of recent times, Salmond turned his party from a small party at Westminster into Scotland's dominant political force. His combative nature saw his fame spread beyond the UK. over 1,000 Taiwanese pilgrims flocked to Southeast China's Fujian province this week for a religious festival, a rare instance of cross-strait cultural exchanges that threatens to be overshadowed by political tensions. On Meishu Island, home to a cluster of rural fishing villages, the deafening roar of firecrackers and gongs accompanied devotees of the sea goddess Mazu, a folk deity worshipped by millions in Taiwan and across southern China's coastal communities. Mazu temples on both sides of the Taiwan Strait share close cultural ties, but Taiwan officials say they think the Chinese Communist Party has been seeking to influence Taiwanese believers with subsidized visits to China and religious exchanges. Taiwan's President Lai Ching-te angered Beijing on Thursday, reiterating that China has no right to represent Taiwan. Taiwanese and Western officials have warned China could stage military drills in response. China has ramped up the frequency of war games around Taiwan in recent months, launching large-scale punishment drills in May after Lai's inauguration. Beijing claims democratically governed Taiwan as its own territory, a view Lai and his government reject. China advocates peaceful unification but has not renounced the possibility of annexing Taiwan by force. China's Commerce Ministry said on Saturday it was considering further tariffs on Taiwanese goods. Temple organizers took the Mazu event as a chance to promote cross-strait unity. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This week's spotlight is on President Joko Widodo inaugurates the 39th Trade Expo Indonesia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo officially opened the 39th Trade Expo Indonesia 2024 on Wednesday, October the 9th in Jakarta. In his remarks, the head of state highlighted the global challenges that affect world economic growth and international trade while emphasizing the importance of innovation in marketing Indonesian products to the global market. The president also touched on overproduction in China, which has raised concerns in many countries regarding the flood of cheap imported products. To that end, the president emphasized that Indonesia, as the fourth most populous country in the world, must be able to protect the domestic market and strengthen exports of superior products abroad. Facing the trade war and inflation that have hit many countries, the president sees an opportunity for Indonesia to strengthen its position in the global market. According to him, the digital era must be utilized optimally in marketing Indonesian products. This year's Trade Expo Indonesia was held in a hybrid manner, both offline and online, with the aim of introducing Indonesia's superior products to the world market. The president hopes that this exhibition can encourage the growth of Indonesian exports, improve the quality and competitiveness of national products in the international market. Meanwhile, Indonesian Minister of Trade Zulkifli Hasan said that the Trade Expo Indonesia was able to achieve significant progress in its contribution to economic growth towards an advanced Indonesia. The minister said that in 2014 or 10 years ago, the first Trade Expo Indonesia during the first year of President Joko Widodo's administration generated transactions of $1.42 billion. Last year, in 2023, the total transactions reached $30.5 billion. In addition to the exhibition, there were also various supporting programs, namely business matching, which brought together exhibitors with buyers from abroad to make contacts and trade contracts. Business counseling, which directed consultation between business actors and trade representatives, and international seminars that provided the widest possible information to business actors in optimizing international business opportunities. This year's Trade Expo Indonesia received very high enthusiasm from exporters, as evidenced by the stands that had been filled by 1,460 business actors. Themed Build Strong Connection with the Best of Indonesia, it showcased various Indonesian products in three zones, namely food and beverage products and agriculture, manufacturing products and home furnishing. In addition, the Ministry of Trade will also hold the Jakarta Muslim Fashion Week 2025 again as an effort to make Indonesia a center for the halal industry and a mecca for the fashion industry. That was this week's Spotlight. I'll start today in history with October the 13th, 1923. Turkey moved its capital to Ankara. Initially, the capital of Turkey was Constantinople, which is now better known as Istanbul. The founder of the Republic of Turkey, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, began moving the capital of Turkey in 1922. Ankara was made the capital because the city was less vulnerable to foreign attacks since it was far from the border. From several sources, it is stated that the reason Mustafa Kemal Atatürk moved the capital was because Istanbul represented the Ottoman Empire. Ankara became a symbol of the new beginning of the Republic of Turkey, now Turkey. Move Moving on to October the 13th, 1972, the Aeroflot Flight 217 plane crash. Aeroflot Flight 217 was an international passenger flight from Orly Airport in Paris to Sheremetyevo International Airport in Moscow. On October the 13th, 1972, an Ilyushin IL-62 operating the flight crashed on approach to Sheremetyevo with the loss of all 164 passengers and 10 crew. The fatalities included 118 Russians, 38 Chileans, 6 Algerians, 1 East German, and 1 Australian. At the time, it was the world's deadliest aviation disaster until surpassed by the Kano Air disaster in 1973. The first International Day for Natural Disaster Reduction on October the 13th, 2010, becomes the last record in today in history of Voice of Indonesia. The International Day for Natural Disaster Reduction was designed by the United Nations General Assembly to encourage people and governments to take part in building communities and societies that are resilient to natural disasters. In 2002, a further resolution of the UN General Assembly decided to maintain efforts to reduce the impact and mitigate global natural disasters by making an International Day of Observance that is commemorated annually. In 2009, the UN General Assembly designated October the 13th as the International Day for Disaster Reduction. That was today in history.
Listener, in this week's listener's mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to a letter from Bill Harms in the USA. He was listening to English programs through frequency of 7780 kHz at 8:11 to 8:40 a.m. UTC on March 20, 2024. And the SINPO is 444-444. Hello, sir. Thank you for your letter. I'm really happy you enjoy our content. So keep listening to VOI. Now I'd like to present to you a beautiful song. So enjoy the song.
Sama, tak seperti saat pertama. Aku bilang mungkin pikiranmu saja.
Kamu bilang ku tak peduli, tak seperti pertama kali. Aku bilang janganlah.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id and RRI Digital Mobile App Channel VOI. In today's edition, we'll give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on National Paralympic Committee to recruit athletes for ASEAN Para Games 2026. The National Paralympic Committee Indonesia has started recruiting athletes for the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Para Games Thailand 2026 through the National Paralympic Week 2024 in Solo. Head of the committee's Achievement Development Division, Sapta Kunta Purnama, in Solo, Central Java, Thursday said that it has made a roadmap for how to get the Paralympics 2026 in Thailand. The National Paralympic Week 2024 is an event to find seats for the Asian Para Games Thailand 2026. He admitted that currently there are not many special competitions for disabled athletes that are a barometer for selecting athletes. Sapta Kunta said that the National Paralympic Week 2024 is held in accordance with the number of sports that will be competed in the 2026 ASEAN Para Games. In total, there were 20 sports competed from October the 6th to 13th in Surakarta, Solo, Central Java. According to Sapta Kunta, the next target is the 2028 Los Angeles Summer Olympics. Meanwhile, Assistant Deputy for Main Sports of the Ministry of Youth and Sports, Budi Arianto Muslim, said that the grand design for developing the disabled athletes is stated in Presidential Decree No. 86 of 2021 concerning the grand designs of national sports. According to him, there is a long-term development roadmap for disabled athletes, including targets until 2028 and the next few years. Budi Arianto emphasized that the government is highly committed to developing disabled athletes so that they can achieve at the international level. As proof of the government's commitment is the construction of a training center for disabled athletes in Karanganyar to advance disabled sports to the world stage. The Ministry of Youth and Sports is also highly committed to the future of athletes by appointing 350 civil servants from the athletes at the Ministry of Youth and Sports. That was My Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voinews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Now we will reply to a letter from Dr. Jyrki Heitonen in Finland. In his email, he sent when he was younger, hobby was listening to RRI station on shortwave. He recorded RRI Balikpapan on 3318 kHz in 1980. Hello sir, thank you for your letter on our broadcast. I've heard your audio recording, and yes, it was RRI's closing tune. But there is no RRI Balikpapan, and I'm really sorry because I cannot explain which RRI with frequency 3318 kHz. It's such a long time ago, so probably its frequency has changed. To know more about RRI in Kalimantan, you can find out through website rri.co.id or rri.co.id. Next, we have another beautiful song to brighten up your day, so happy listening.
Banyak yang ku lewati, banyak yang ku alami. Kenanganmu tersimpan di hati. Walau ku harus pergi, walau ku harus berlari, kenanganmu terasa di hati. Saat kau menari dengan tawa, rasa terkesima mulai melebur dalam hati ini. Dan ku telah arungi luas semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu. Terkesima mulai melebur dalam hati ini. Dan ku telah arungi luas semesta, tapi tak ada yang mengalahkan indah parasmu.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Today's Indonesian Wonder is featuring Gesing Beach in Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta is famous for its various natural tourist attractions that have beautiful views, especially beach tourism, which is famous for its fantastic natural beauty. One of them is a beach located in Gunung Kidul area called Gesing Beach. It is about 40 kilometers from the center of Yogyakarta, precisely located in Girikarto Village, Panggang Sub-District, Gunung Kidul Regency, Special Region of Yogyakarta. Although its location is quite remote and has not been visited by many, which added to its attraction of course, it offers stunning natural beauty. The attraction of Gesing Beach lies in its clean white sand and two coral hills that flank the beach. Here, visitors can do various activities such as taking a leisurely walk on the beach, fishing, and of course taking picture because there are so many fascinating spots here. In addition, visitors can also shop for fresh fish and hunt for seafood culinary delights around the beach at affordable prices. The white sand on Gesing Beach, in addition to providing exotic views, is also an ideal spot to sit back and relax while enjoying the beautiful natural atmosphere. Gesing Beach can definitely become a place to relax in the midst of daily activities. The scenery and natural atmosphere of Gesing Beach are indeed extraordinary, so it can be an aesthetic place to take pictures, and the manager has also provided some Instagrammable spots that can be used, including the one shaped like a boat on the edge of a cliff. Although the location is remote, once you arrive at the location, the beauty and naturalness of Gesing Beach will eliminate your fatigue during the trip. Because in addition to its beautiful natural scenery, this beach also has wonderful underwater beauty since the water is clear and shallow and the coral reefs are clearly visible. For fish lovers, this place is crowded with various ornamental fish. Gesing Beach, a hidden paradise in Gunung Kidul, awaits you, especially nature adventurers, to explore the hidden paradise here. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again next time with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I'll reply to a letter from Miss Marlene Sherburn in the USA. She was listening to our broadcast through streaming on July 23, 2024 at 10 to 11 p.m. UTC. She said she was so excited and enjoyed our programs because it filled so much information and music. She also said she has been listening to shortwave radio since 1968, but never heard the voice of Indonesia before. Hello, Miss Marlene Sherburn. Thank you for sending reception report of our broadcast. For your information, Voice of Indonesia was established in 1945 with the name Voice of Free of Indonesia. In time, we're adapting and evolve with technology and development so we can provide visual broadcast daily through digital platform RRI Net, now known as RRI Digital App, and websites vynews.id and rri.co.id. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song for you, and I like also remind you that besides through 3325 and 4755 kHz, also we are available on 7780 kHz, which is relayed by WRMI. If you have suggestion or criticism, please send them to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com.
apa yang ku mau, kini aku lepas. Let's enjoy my freedom. Kini aku bebas, lakukan apa yang ku mau. Kini aku bebas.
You just enjoyed the third song presented by Voice of Indonesia. Next, we have Miss Selene.
Miss Selene today is on Indonesian fried chicken enters the list of the world's most delicious fried chicken. Two variants of Indonesian fried chicken have entered the list of the world's best fried chicken. Taste Atlas, a global culinary encyclopedia site, has just updated its list of top fried chicken on Sunday, September the 15th. The ratings of dishes on Taste Atlas are based on public reviews from around the world. Taste Atlas rating system is designed to respect human judgment while ignoring machine-generated reviews or those that are nationalistic and locally patriotic. Knowledgeable users can also give higher ratings to certain dishes. The most delicious fried chicken dishes in first and second place are chicken from South Korea and karage from Japan. Next, according to Taste Atlas 2024, is Indonesian fried chicken. Basically, Indonesian fried chicken consists of chicken pieces marinated in spices, then boiled briefly before being fried until golden brown. The seasoning of this dish is usually based on traditional spices such as lemongrass, galangal, turmeric, and tamarind. However, because fried chicken is enjoyed throughout the country, this dish is available in various regional variations that may include other spices and herbs. Another dish from Indonesia, namely ayam penyet, is also one of the best fried chicken dishes according to Taste Atlas 2024. Ayam penyet consists of ordinary spiced fried chicken pieces served with sambal, the most popular chili paste in Indonesia. The word penyet literally means to press or to crush, referring to cooking preparation method where the chicken is pressed to make the meat more tender. Although originating from East Java, ayam penyet or penyet chicken is found throughout the country, even popular in Singapore. Indonesia is renowned as the origin of various spices, including clove, pepper, nutmeg, coriander, ginger, and many others. No wonder authentic Indonesian cuisine usually consists of spicy food, including fried chicken. Yet, the taste and smell of spices in Indonesian food is not so strong compared to, say, Indian or Arabic food. No wonder it is easily accepted and enjoyed by people around the world. That was Miss Selene today.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
bukan hidupmu. Tak perlu ku mengikuti semua langkahmu. Ini mimpiku, bukan mimpimu. Ku dengar suara hati memanggil.
Jangan mahu jodohkan-kanmu.
Janganlah berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana.
Jangan mahu nyatakan mimpimu.
Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Caraku, bukan caramu. Cibiran kata hanyalah angin berlalu. Aku beranikan diri, dengar suara hati.
Jangan mahu jodohkan-kanmu.
Janganlah berani percaya, engkau pasti akan kesana. Kau pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ku pasti bisa ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Ini saatnya ubah mimpi jadi nyata. Cahaya di sana, kini aku melangkah ke sana. Tak peduli mereka, akan berkata apa. Ku masih bisa ubah mimpi jadi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, today's music corner presents a song by Audela. Alda Wiyakadela Arif Suyoso, better known as Audela, is an Indonesian singer who has participated in various talent search events. However, so far she only managed to come out as a finalist. Meanwhile, her name has begun to be known by the wider community since her first single entitled Tertawan Hati, which was released in 2022, became a hit. Audela continues to be productive, and recently she released a new song entitled Setengah Mati. This pop ballad genre song was created by Martinus Layardo and Clara Riva. The song, which was released at the end of September 2024, is dedicated to people who have failed to move on from a love story that is so difficult to erase from the memory. Well, listener, here is the song by Audela called Setengah Mati. Enjoy! For listening to our English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia or Instagram at VOI_official and of course to our email voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. So I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.